Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours, and I want to thank you so much for calling in on this Saturday evening for our Q&A conference call. Before I get to your questions and I start answering your questions, I wanted to make a couple of announcements. We've been getting a lot of emails and phone calls of people asking, when are the borders going to open up? When can I buy my flight? When should I book my flight to come there? So I want to give you the latest news about coming to Panama. First of all, originally, they shut down the borders in March for 30 days until April, and then in April they extended it to May, May they extended it to June, and on, and just now they've extended that they would open up the airport again for international travel on September the 22nd. But I would not count on the borders actually opening up for tourists to come in on September the 22nd. It might, but I doubt it. I doubt that it's going to happen. So I honestly think it's too soon for any of you to think that if you don't have a visa already, it's way too soon for you to plan a trip to come to Panama and to book your ticket. I'll send out an email as soon as I think it's a good time for you to book your ticket to come. So even though they say the borders are going to open up on September 22nd, they've given us so many dates and it's a moving target. It's not a good idea to book your ticket to come here yet. Even for people that are thinking about December or January, I would hold off on booking those tickets even later on because there's just too much uncertainty with the virus and when the economy is going to open up and other things. So along with that lines, so I've had people that have contacted me and said that they want to stay a month after their tour in January of 2021, and they want to go ahead and book an Airbnb or a hotel, and they want to go ahead and book a rental car. It's honestly, I think it's too soon. I'm sure hoping that we're going to be doing tours in January, but there's just so much uncertainty that I think it's premature for you to book any flights, to book a rental car, to book an Airbnb, or to book a rental. For those of you that are planning to move down to Panama, I don't want you to book a rental and be paying rent on something that you're not even living in yet because you don't know for sure when you can get here. So the bottom line of my advice is as much as I would love to start doing tours next week, I don't know when I can start doing Panama relocation tours again. I don't know when they're going to let tourists or people that don't have a visa come into Panama again. And you should know that even people that are Panamanians or people that are foreigners that already have their permanent visa, for them to come into Panama, first of all, they have to submit a negative COVID test 48 hours before their flight. And they also have to do a 14-day quarantine whenever they come here. So it really doesn't make any sense for you to come to Panama to just check out the country if you have to do a 14-day quarantine whenever you get here before you can ever even do anything else in the country. And then currently in Panama, we have a curfew that lasts in the province I'm in Chiriquí province. We have a curfew from 7 p.m. until 5 a.m. We have to stay home during that time, or at least on our property. And on the weekends, we have to stay home. We can get restaurant meals delivered, but we can't. We're not supposed to leave our property on the weekends. So it's not the ideal situation for someone that's a tourist to come to Panama to go into a 14-day quarantine and have those kind of restrictions. In Panama right now, there's also a restriction on traveling in between provinces. So if I wanted to go to Los Tablas to see some friends that live in Los Tablas right now, I can't go there, and they can't come to visit me. We're not allowed to travel in between provinces. So until those things loosen up, until that goes away, it's really just too soon for you to book a flight or plan on a trip to Panama. The good thing is that our numbers are coming down a bit. We were having about 1,000 new cases every day, and now it's down to about 750 to 800 new cases a day. The number of deaths has still remained fairly low. And it the seems like the number of deaths is going down. Our recovery rate is extremely high. Only about 2% of the people that get the virus die from the virus, and maybe they had some other conditions that were associated with it also. So our death rate is pretty low. The recovery rate is extremely high. And that's kind of what the situation is here in Panama with the virus right now. But until all those things improve, it's a little bit too soon to plan your trip to come to Panama. So with that in mind, I'm going to take any questions that you have on those of you that I know have all your paperwork ready. You want to come to Panama and get your visa and you're ready to move to Panama. And unfortunately, it just can't happen just yet, but hopefully it'll happen soon. So let me go ahead with my first question. I believe this is Pat. Is that right?
Yes, this is Pat.
I
And
thought so.
I have a question or a request, I guess you could say. Since I want to live in Panama and in the Boquete area, I noticed that there's Boquete District, there's different villages, parts, suburbs, and et cetera. Could you or have someone or write an article kind of explaining how the government there works? Even though I'm not a going to be a citizen, I'd like to know who's in charge of water, who's in charge of garbage, how's the mayor elected, et cetera. Something about how the government there works.
Okay, I'll work on an article like that.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
And you answered my other question, when can I come and get away from
Oh,
these
I can.
hurricanes?
Yeah, we don't know. I don't know when they're going to open up the border for tourists. I don't know when you can come. I wouldn't count on the end of September. I just don't know.
Okay. Yes, I understand that. So it looks
Okay.
like another year of hurricane season for me.
I think you
Thanks.
got two of them headed for you right now, don't you?
Yes, we
Yeah.
have. Thank you.
Okay. Well, stay safe.
Thanks.
Next question is David. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, I'm surprised that Pat beat me because normally I'm the first one to ask questions.
I think she called in 30 minutes early.
Okay. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you for allowing me to be part of your weekly Saturday calls. I have learned
You're
so
very
much, and as you know, I might be retiring in 5 years. I mean, part of these calls have allowed me to mentally prepare for retirement. So I want to let you know, thank you very much for that.
welcome.
As you know, I have looked at other countries like Ecuador, and this is what I've discovered by looking at a family traveling in Ecuador. This guy, he had purchased a lot of his electronics from the States. So he's got an iPhone, he's got a MacBook, an Apple Mac. So he wanted to get these items fixed. So they traveled to Guayaquil, which is a very, big city in Ecuador. So he ran into a problem. The problem was that when he's trying to get his phone fixed, the one he purchased in the States, his iPhone, they couldn't repair it. But yet they could repair his laptop. I was wondering, do you run into anything like that in Panama?
So no, we don't have the problem with that. You can get your phones fixed, even if you crack the face of it. You have your phone's fixed, computer's fixed, all those kind of things. The other thing you should know about Ecuador is they have a 45% excise tax on all electronics coming into the country. So, like a little cell phone that I could buy for $25 here, I've been to Guayaquil and Cuenca and Quito and Vilcabamba and Cotacachi and lots of places in Ecuador. And that same phone will be $70 to $80. The exact same phone, exact same model and manufacturer and everything. So electronics are quite expensive in Ecuador.
Okay, thanks so much. That makes sense of why it's so expensive. They say that anything you plug in, this was their verbiage, anything you have to plug in Ecuador, you need to buy from the States or somewhere else.
No, it's not true here. You can buy an iPhone here, no problem. Sometimes it's by the time you have it shipped in and pay the shipping cost, it's going to be about the same. For example, I was looking at a Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus phone a couple of years ago, last year maybe it was, and I bought it at a store here called Panafoto, and it was the same price at Panafoto that it was on Amazon, plus I didn't have to pay any of the charges to get it shipped in. And the phones that you buy in Panama, they're already unlocked. So, and some of the phones that you might buy from the United States, they're not unlocked, and then you wouldn't have the freedom to be able to just switch out the SIM card and go with any carrier.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks so much, Jackie. You've been very helpful for me.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in, David.
All right, look.
And my next caller just says, by the way, David, sorry I cut you off before you said goodbye, but thanks for calling in. Next caller just says anonymous. I don't know your number or who you are, but I've unmuted your line.
Thanks, Jackie. I just figured out where to put my name when I call in. listen, can I get a decent apartment to rent in David for around $800 a month?
You could get a decent apartment to rent in David for even $600 a month, $600, $650. You wouldn't have to go up to $800.
That
you can get a really, really, you can get a very nice one for $800.
Wow. Okay, cool. I'm paying $730 in Chicago for a one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment. I split it with my roommate, so it's $1,450. So that'll be a hell of a deal.
I know there's a lady from my tour, and she has a really nice two-bedroom, two-bath apartment with a swimming pool and granite countertop, washer-dryer, a covered parking, and she's paying $600 a month.
Is she single?
And she's single, yes.
Never mind. All right. Thank you, Jackie.
All right. Warren, go right ahead. I've unmuted a line for it. It says Warren. I don't know if it's Warren or not. Hello? We'll have to go to the next caller then. So David and Barbara, go ahead with your call.
Hi, this is Barbara of David and Barbara calling again.
Uh-huh.
We're from Central Florida, and we're going to be leaving town ahead of the hurricanes, but I think they're getting away from our part. So we're in Central Florida and definitely wanting Boquete area to get away from all the heat and
mm-hmm.
have this wonderful temperature all year round. We're getting a little flustered about trying to get the sequence of events and documents and everything because we feel we need a three-step process. First, come to see it. The second trip, we need to bring every document we need to open the bank account, start the visa procedure, and rent a home, since we need that rented before we bring our dogs on the next trip. So a little concerned about the bank account, and we don't understand exactly what they need from here.
I don't know if you've purchased our online Panama relocation guide, but we have information in there.
Yeah, but I mean, we really have to bring solid cash in our bags with us to open this.
You have to bring $1,500 in cash, and it could all be $100 bills to open your account. Then once the account's open, then you can either wire down additional money, or you can even write a check on a U.S. bank and deposit that into your account up to $3,000.
Okay, because we're trying to figure out how we do that and at the same time pay for getting something, a renter's contract, and getting that rented in the same trip.
Right. And the other thing you could even consider doing is you could come to Panama with your dogs, and there's some pet-friendly hotels where you could stay while you're looking for your place to live. And then you'd only have to do everything in one trip. You could do the, you know, move down with your dog, stay in a pet-friendly hotel for a week while you're looking at different rental properties. And once you get settled into your rental property, then you can get the visa started.
Oh, we don't have to have the visa started first to bring them?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, but they have to be quarantined, I thought, for 40 days somewhere.
No, only in your home. So they could be quarantined right in the hotel, and then you'd move them over to the house. So they just need to be quarantined on your property.
Oh, wherever that is. It could be two different properties. I hadn't thought
of
that.
Yeah, exactly. Easy. Okay. Yep.
We know we do want to be in Boquete and not in the hotter areas.
Yeah.
Are any pet-friendly hotels, we could take them directly to Boquete?
Uh-huh. Yep. There's even a driver that we know several different drivers that would take you directly there. You, your luggage, your pets, and everything.
Oh, that would be very good.
From the airport in Panama City.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Because we've been
counting. And then you don't have two flights that you have to take. You only have one flight, and just bring all the paperwork, bring the pets, bring the money to open up the bank account, and you're good to go.
Okay, because we've been counseled that they need to go on an air cargo, that a lot of the airlines aren't even accepting any pets within the passenger plane underneath. I mean, they're too big to be with us.
Yeah. No problem. They can go in cargo.
Okay. And then that person could meet us when they're at the cargo.
They would meet you at the airport. They would help the pets get examined by the vet at the airport. And then if you came in later, you might want to spend the night at a pet-friendly hotel in Panama City before you continue on to your trip to Boquete with the pets. Or if you came in early in the morning, they could even drive you the very same day. But you could do everything in one trip instead of two, and it might be less stressful for you and the pets if you did everything in one trip. So it'll work. My next caller is Rich. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie. How you doing today? My name's Richard.
Hi, Richard. I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, ma'am. I want to talk about the visa thing there. Now, my wife is actually older than me by 3 years, so I've read the report on what a man has to do before a woman gets the visa and stuff. I was just wondering if I would have to wait longer in order to get that visa when I'm 60 years old.
No, you don't. So if you were going to get the pensionado visa, one of you or both of you combined needs to have $1,250 in a combined lifetime income, like Social Security or pension from a job.
Right.
So if one of you has that, or combined you have that, then you can go ahead and apply for the visa together at the same time.
I got you. I misunderstood it then, because it said a guy needs to be 60 and the woman could be like 50-something.
That's so. Only for the Friendly Nations visa. For the Pensionado visa, there is no age requirement.
Okay.
But for the Friendly Nation visa, once you get that, then men have to be 60 to take advantage of the discounts. You can go ahead and get the visa. You just don't get the Jubilado discounts until you're 60. But if you get the Pensionado visa, there's not an age restriction, so you could go ahead and get those Jubilado discounts right away.
Okay, sounds good. Probably be within 3 years. I might see you in about a year and a half.
Sounds good. Everything should be settled down in Panama for sure by then.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
My next caller is Gail. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Just missed our July tour group, but we're scheduled for further, my sister and I, for further next year. But I have an off-the-wall question. You may or may not have this information, but I remember when you were talking about getting your Medicare, and I know insurance is state-specific in the United States. It depends on what your residency is at the time you turn 65. Have you gathered any information from folks on your tour as far as, are there any states better than others to have your residency in?
Yes, there is. You want to, well, and not just for Medicare, but you also want to go, you want to reestablish, before you move to Panama, it's a good idea to reestablish your residency in a state that does not have a state income tax, like Florida or Texas. Well, I know in Texas, where I moved from, that there are some Medicare plans where they, if you're not going to live in the United States full time, they'll actually reduce your cost, but you still have that Medicare available. So I would say Florida or Texas are your two best bets, because you don't want to have to be filing or dealing with state income tax. Some states even tax you on your pension, which is insane. It's bad enough to pay, that the federal government taxes it, but to have to pay state taxes on it too, it's just not right.
Yeah, I'm in a state that doesn't have, Washington has no state income tax. We're one of the seven, I think, that are left. And so I just wondered if that, you know, what if there was any benefits of being from a particular state, and that obviously is being one of them, not having a state
income tax. Yeah, the main thing is that you don't want to be in a state that has a state income tax. So if you live in Washington, doesn't have state income tax, you're already good to go there. As far as any benefits that they have for Medicare, if you're not going to be living in the United States full-time, I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that question. You'd have to talk to a Medicare insurance specialist.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 850. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Chris and Debbie Johnson from Panama City Beach, Florida. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for calling in today.
Okay. We have a question. First of all, can we assign an attorney a power of attorney to start our process of our temporary visa, since we're having all this COVID?
No. You have to be in person.
In person, okay. And
yeah.
Let me
tell you what you can do in advance is once you get all of your documents together, you could scan those and email them to your attorney, and they could go ahead and get it translated into Spanish, and they could get everything ready. So the day you hit the day you come into Panama, you're ready to start applying for your visa. There won't be any delay. The problem is with getting your documents together. You know, what if you couldn't come for 6 months? Right now, they've given an extension. So people that got their documents ready to go and they thought they were going to move here in June, but their documents maybe expired in July, they've given an extension on those until October 31st. But we just don't know when you can come into Panama. So I would say it's even a little bit preliminary to start gathering your documents for getting a visa. But unfortunately, no, you cannot give your attorney a power of attorney to go ahead and get your visa for you. I wish you could, but it's not possible.
Okay, next question from Chris. He wants to know why there's a limit of $3,000 a month for deposits.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I can tell you there's an easy solution. Open up two bank accounts. Then you can put $3,000 in one and $3,000 in the other one.
Okay, and one more thing, Jackie, everybody's been asking about the medical care over in Panama. I am a witness to how amazing Boquete treatment was for me with Dr. Gomez and the emergency room in Panama. Being a nurse of 22 years, I was so impressed.
Yeah,
the doctors
here are amazing. They're extremely knowledgeable, and the prices are incredible.
And compassionate and caring.
Yes. Yeah. And they follow up, making sure you're okay.
And they took my insurance, too.
There you go. Excellent.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Jackie.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Next caller is area code 470.
Hi, Jackie. I'm actually calling from Corozal, Belize, but I've got a U.S. phone. Anyway, my question is, when I've looked online, the temperatures at night are in the 50s and 60s. Do you have auxiliary heat or anything like that to keep you a little warmer at night?
No. Last night, I know I got down to 61 here in Boquete last night because we had some rain last night, and it was rainy this morning. But no, 61. But, you know, the houses here are made out of cement block. So during the day, that heat is warming up that cement block, and it just seems to keep the whole house warm. I do have a fireplace at my house, but in the 10 years, I think I've had it on 3 or 4 times, and not so much because I was cold, just for the ambience of having the fire going.
Yeah,
nope, just don't need it. I'll just put on extra blanket on the bed.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Carolyn, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. We were just wondering if you could recommend any news organizations, either online or in print, that we could subscribe to now.
You mean for Panama News?
Right.
Yeah, Prensa, Prensa.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. And next caller is Claire, I believe. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. Hi, everybody. Just to add to what you said earlier about going into Panama before September 22nd, we actually had a flight booked from Canada here October 26th, and that was canceled the other day. So that was with Copa and Delta. So it looks like you're certainly giving good advice not to book anything for now.
Luckily, I think most of the airlines, they understand the situation, and they're flexible about if they cancel the flight, you can get a refund. But I believe with most of the airlines, but at least they'll give you a full credit for a flight later on. But even if they cancel your flight in October, you say, okay, well, I'll go ahead and book one for November. Well, we don't know. Can you come down in November? We just don't know. So it's just too soon to book a flight, unfortunately.
Yeah, we haven't booked anything else. We're booked for your end of November, beginning of December tour, and we're sort of just hanging tough until we find out what's going to happen. Anyway, my question is, I love gardening, and we've heard a lot. We've been down there a few times and heard a lot about snakes and scorpions and bugs, and wondering if you have any trouble with those with your gardening, or are there any special precautions you take in regard to gardening and with the snakes, etc.?
No, I'm up at a higher elevation. My house and my property is at 4,600 feet. So, snakes are just rare, extremely rare at these elevations. If I was down at 3,500 feet, I know people that have problems with some snakes down at the 3,500 and 2,000 foot elevation. Same thing with scorpions. But I do get scorpions. I don't see them outside, but I've seen them, in my house every once in a while. But, just step on them, or I'll scoot them outside, one of the two. But it's not a problem.
Okay, good to know. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. And next caller is area code 954.
Hey, Jackie. This is Doe and Susan. We were really worried when we didn't hear that Dave was the first caller, but then we now all right because he was the second caller.
Okay.
Just a quick question. I think you may have answered the first one. For lap swimming, I do lap swimming. Are there a lot of rentals that have pools?
There are a lot of rentals that have pools if you're in a lower elevation, like at sea level. But as you go up higher, there's very few places, rentals, that would have a pool. Very few. For example, in Boquete, where I live, I don't know a single house that has a swimming pool in the Boquete district. But Valle Escondido has a large pool that you could get a membership to go swimming there, but the houses just don't have it. Right now, it's like 68 degrees outside, so it'd be a little chilly for swimming, and that's why the pools are going to be at the lower elevations, not at the higher elevations.
Oh, all right. And then just my last question. I'm 6'6". These rentals, do they have king-size beds? Do you know?
Some of them, some rentals do have king-size beds. I have a house that I'm in the process of selling, and it has a California king-size bed in it. So the extra long and extra wide.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Jim and Carol, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Last week or the week before, you made the comment that it's easy to buy but not as easy to sell in Panama. Is that because of capital gains? Is that because of availability? One of the things that's important to us is, passing this on to our son, and certainly we'll buy it in our name, as we have with other items, but we don't want to give him, we want to give him an asset, not a liability.
Mm-hmm. So, hold on one second. Let me take a quick drink of some hot tea.
Okay.
Okay, I had a tickle in my throat. So, it's difficult to sell because several different reasons. Number one reason is because there's not really a real good system on evaluating what the right price is to pay for a property. And too many people make the mistake of coming down to Panama and within a month or two or three after they move here, they rush in and buy something because it looks like a heck of a deal compared to a property that they saw in California or New York or Washington, D.C. So they rush into buying it not knowing that they paid $100,000 too much for that property. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some of the real estate agents or real estate salespeople in Panama, they don't have a fiduciary relationship with you to where they're supposed to be protecting your interest. And some of them, they're going to encourage you to, oh, yeah, it's a great deal. Go ahead and buy it because they're going to get a bigger commission the more that you pay. And because you paid way too much, it makes it much harder to sell later on down the road. I know people that they've been trying to sell a property for 9 years. I know people that have had properties for sale for 2 years, for 5 years, for 6 years. They keep lowering the price and lowering price and lowering the price, and it's even priced at less than what they paid for it, and they still can't sell it. The other reason for that is a lot of people come to Panama and they want to make some extra money. And once they get a work permit, hopefully they have a work permit, then they decide, oh, well, they're going to sell real estate to do it. But they really don't have any experience at all. And one lady was a preschool teacher before she decided she was going to sell real estate. She doesn't know anything about real estate. And other people, they come from a corporate America background, and they really don't know how to market properties. They don't know how to screen potential buyers so that they're getting someone that's qualified to go look at your house. I've been a real estate investor for 30 years, so I understand that game of buying and selling and fixing up houses. But a lot of people that are in the business of selling real estate here, they really don't. Some of them were a mortgage broker before they ever came here, but that doesn't qualify for them as experience in buying and selling houses.
Okay.
Let me just say one more thing. That's why I highly, highly recommend to everybody that when you come here, rent for at least 6 months, a year would be better, because that gives you time to make sure you like Panama, make sure you like the weather where you are, and it'll give you time to visit with people and monitor the real estate situation to know what the right prices are to pay in different areas.
Yeah. We had a property in southern Brazil for about 9-10 years, and we had a really super experience. We had a great real estate agent when mm-hmm. we bought it and when we sold it. From that perspective, he told us what we needed to do. We did it, and there wasn't an issue. And that's why I was concerned when I heard you mention that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good real estate agents here. There's some good ones, but there's a lot of them that are not so good, too. So you have to be very, very careful who you work with.
Okay. Thank you
very
much.
And the main thing is, Yeah, is make sure you don't pay too much whenever you buy it.
Yeah, I know there's a gringo price.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Next caller is Kathleen. Go ahead.
Yes. My husband and I have been looking at a variety of places in Central America, Mexico, Costa Rica, Roatan, and we love what we're hearing about Panama as far as, well, just a lot of conveniences. The fact that I don't have to convert in my mind every time I use a dollar, as well as other things. But we're still very much in the beginning of really trying to find some place that we think is going to be right for us. And I know that Boquete is probably going to be a little too cool for my taste and his, because he goes along with me. But I'm wondering, I know there are a lot of microclimates and so on and so forth from what you said. So the question is there an area in the Boquete David area that would allow us to have that swimming pool where it got in the mid-80s, maybe 90, kind of topping out at 90 on a regular basis, and
yes,
then still dropping that 10 degrees at night. And, wait, I'm not done, and that we could have an ocean view. Even though it might be a long
Well, what do you want, Kathleen? You want to have your cake and you want to eat it too with frosting on top?
Yes, in fact.
So, yes, you have all of those things are available to you. Just a little bit, about 20 minutes south of Boquete, and it's still in the Boquete district, are two communities, one in gated communities. One is called Los Molinos. And daytime temperatures there are going to be in that 85 to 90 degrees. It's right on a canyon with exquisitely beautiful canyon views, but they also have ocean views and a swimming pool. Some of the houses have swimming pools. All condos have a pool at the condo. But then there's also a community swimming pool. There's also another neighborhood called, it's in Caldera, and another gated community that also many of the houses have an ocean view. They look very different. That you'd have to check them both out to see which one felt right. They have a community swimming pool.
Let me interrupt you just real quickly. The only reason we have avoided gated communities so far is because, number one, we have four dogs and we'll be moving with them, as well as the fact that I love having a handful of chickens in the backyard.
Okay. Yeah, I've got chickens now too. So in Caldera, there is the gated community, but there's also the town of Caldera where you can get a house on an acre of land or 2 acres of land, have a garden, have your chickens, and have your four dogs. So Caldera would be one of the towns. There's a lot of good properties there if you like that warmer weather. Also, about halfway between David and Boquete is the area called Jolega, Jolega, and quite a few of the people from my tour have moved there. Once again, daytime temperatures are going to be in that 85 to 90 degrees. You may look on our YouTube channel, and we have a video. I think the title is something about living in rural Panama. And it has a picture of some papayas, and it's an interview with a couple that bought a house. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath house, and they're on 2 acres, fenced. They doesn't have a pool, but there's room to put in a pool, but they have like 60 fruit trees. They bought all of that for $120,000, so the prices are significantly less in Jolega. But you could rent a house like that on 2 acres for about $500 a month.
Okay. And Caldera was the first town, and it's Golega, G as in George.
No, it's D like dog, D like dog, O G. Oh, I'm sorry, Jolega.
Okay. I just had the G.
But look on our YouTube channel for the Living in Rural Panama, and you'll see the video, the interview with some people that are living in Jolega.
Okay. And my husband wanted to know what the gated communities are, but in gated communities, we will not be allowed to have chickens, I'm assuming.
No chickens and no four dogs. No, you would
right.
have to go. But the town of Caldera, no problem. And in Dolega, no, there are no gated communities, but you could live there with no problem.
Okay, thank you very much. I know I took quite a bit of time. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next caller is Cynthia. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Cindy, and I have a hobby of sewing, and I know that it's going to be a while before I'm able to hook up with one of your tours because there's a long wait list. So I thought maybe what I would do is come in for a few weeks and maybe stay at a local hotel or something like that. And I wanted to know if there are any fabric stores in the David area, Boqueta, or would I have to go to Panama
yes.
City for that?
Nope, there's some really nice fabric stores right in David.
Okay, and
there's a small fabric store in Boquete, textile store, but there's a really nice one down in David.
And if I bring my sewing machine, would a hotel like Hotel Central Boquete, would that allow me to do sewing there? Do you know?
I would recommend a different hotel. If you'll send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours, I would absolutely recommend a different hotel.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller is Mary.
Hi, I'm Mary's husband, Richard. How are you, Jackie?
Hey, Richard. I'm good. Richard, thanks for calling in today.
I have a question. We are natural practitioners, natural healers, and there is a proven cure and preventative for corona. Is there somebody you know in the government who would be interested in a very cost-effective treatment that works and is fully documented, copiously documented, is very cheap?
Yeah, I don't know anybody in the government, but I do know a couple of doctors that would be really interested. If you'll send me an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours with a little bit more information, then I can get it to the right people that could get it to the right person in the government.
Wonderful. We'll do that.
Okay.
We have one more question. We have a retirement income, my wife and myself, that comes to $2,400, and we have a disabled daughter who has an income of $750. That is a total of $3,150. Is that sufficient to cover the pensionado?
Absolutely, yes. For a pensionado visa, for all three of you, you would need to prove that you have a lifetime income of $1,500. So you would be very sufficient.
What about a friendly nation?
How about friendly nation? That's a different thing, though.
I know.
A friendly nation visa, you don't have to prove any monthly income at all for the friendly nation visa. You just have to set up a Panama bank account with $5,000 in the bank account. But you don't have to prove any kind of monthly income. But with a friendly nation visa, then you could get a work permit, so you could work in Panama if you wanted to.
That's important. So we will send you that package, Jackie, directly to your info at PanamaRelocationTours.com.
Send it to me, and I don't know someone in the government, but I know the right people, the right doctor to get it to that could get it into the right hands.
Excellent. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next caller is Lana. Go ahead. I've unmuted the line for Lana. I don't see a phone number. Nope. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next caller. And the next caller is Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jackie, I'm kind of piggybacking on a question that was asked earlier about the people, like you said, send their paperwork ahead of time and maybe getting that translated into Spanish, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of wondering if I go like a couple of days ahead of time, maybe before the tour, and if I, say, sent that package, would I be able to, like, get that pension out of Visa and then be able to use that for like reduced cost of, you know, lodging for like another 10 days while I'm there trying to, you know, scope out the area, et cetera. And then like the second part of that question is, if I can do that, how long can I come back to the United States for it before I have to go back there? I wasn't sure about the aftermath or timelines and stuff like that after that.
So it's, first of all, let me say that I think that 3 days, you would need to be in Panama 3 days before the tour for you to get everything for your visa. You're also going to need to get a multi-entry stamp, but that's not a problem. We've had a lot of people that came in a couple days before the tour. They got their temporary visa, and then you have to turn over your passport to get the multi-entry stamp. But the attorney that we work with, they would just send it through an in-country courier, so it would be waiting for you whenever you got to the final destination at the end of the tour. Meanwhile, you'd have a copy of your passport, which would be sufficient. But as far as the discounts go, officially, you don't get the discounts until you get your permanent visa. Your temporary visa wouldn't be sufficient. The reality, that's the official rule. The reality is that if you walk into a restaurant and you have a little bit of gray hair or no hair, or they, you look like you're over 60, they're just going to give the discount. Same thing with pharmacies and other things. But to get like the airline discounts, you have to have your permanent visa. To get the hotel discounts, many of the hotels that we work with, we just say, you know, I was on a Panama relocation tour, you instantly get a discount anyway. So, and they usually will call me and verify that you were on the tour, and then they're going to give you a discount, which would be about the equivalent of what you would get with your Jubilado discount.
Okay, so you have to have a visa, like you could show your driver's license to show you're 65 or whatever.
Yeah, well, you're going to have your temporary card. You'll have your temporary visa card that you can show.
Already sounds
but
great.
But the reality is a lot of people don't even ask to see your card. If you were in Panama City, they're more likely to card you and say they want as proof to see that you're old enough. But if you're in other parts like Petosi or Los Tablas or Santiago or David or Volcan, if you look like you're 60, they're just going to give you the discount.
All right, well, I'm fairly thin on top in another year or two, and I'll be even thinner up there. So the second
there you
part
go.
Of that is kind of like, second part, so after I get that, what's kind of like the timeline in terms of, like, if I move back here for a little bit before
So when you get your temporary visa, it's good for 6 months. So if you wanted to stay in Panama another 10 days after the tour and then go back to the United States or Canada, that's okay. You can do that. If you have the multi-entry stamp in your passport, you can leave Panama, no problem. You just need to come back within 6 months of getting that temporary visa so you can pick up your permanent visa. Usually about 3 months after you get your temporary visa, the attorney is going to notify you that your permanent visa is ready. But you don't have to come back immediately. You can wait until 6 months. And let's say you just couldn't come back at 6 months. You couldn't come back for 8 or 9 months. They charge a $50 a month penalty if you don't come back within 6 months. So it's still doable.
Okay. Thanks so very much.
You're welcome. I hope that clarifies it.
It does quite a bit.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. Next caller is Lee and Jen. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. So we are, my husband and I have traveled pretty extensively to Panama, and my husband was stationed there in the Air Force many years ago. So we're very familiar with the country. In fact, we hiked Baru last year. but the question that we have is, given that your tours are really booked, it looks like, for the next maybe 2 years or so, what is the possibility to actually purchase real estate without having a visa yet? Is that even possible?
It's possible, but I would not advise it at all.
Okay.
That you buy real estate until you have a visa. Our tours are booked through the end of 2021. We do have our 2022 dates, but I'm not going to publish those until they open up the borders and we know we can do tours again. And even if they opened up the borders, let's say in October, we do have additional tour dates that we can add for 2020 and also for 2021. I just don't want to put them out there. I don't want to take reservations for it until I know for sure I can do a tour. One of the things that concerns me is that what if they opened up the borders and we had this flood of tourists that came in and then all of a sudden we had an uptick in the viruses and they shut the borders down again. So we just have to wait to do tours until things are more settled down before we get started with the tours again. Let me tell you why I would not advise buying real estate if you don't have a visa yet. First of all, you need to, just because you've come here for a week or two or even a month to visit, it's a really good idea to live in the location where you think you want to buy for at least 6 months before you buy, to make sure you like it in the dry season and the rainy season, and that you like that area, the temperature. But also, right now, there's a lot of people right now that they bought real estate in Panama and they can't get here. Their real estate is just sitting there empty and they can't get here because the rules are currently that the only people that can come into the country are people that have a permanent visa or people that are Panamanian. So all those people that bought real estate that do not, they can't get here. There's no way they can get here. It doesn't matter. They say, well, I have five houses there and I rent them out. Doesn't matter. They can't get into the country. The other thing that I advise about wait until you buy real estate is I do know a couple of people that they bought real estate before they had their permanent visa, and guess what? Their permanent visa was denied. it can happen for one reason or another. Your visa could be denied, which means that you can only stay in Panama for 6 months as a tourist. If you're not driving, then you have to leave for at least 30 days before you can come back. Then you can stay for 6 months and you have to leave for 30 days. So if for some reason your visa was denied, you'd be stuck in that cycle.
Interesting.
That's why it's better to wait until you have your permanent visa before you buy real estate.
Yeah, that's a very persuasive answer. Thank you so much for that. I have one other quick question, if you don't mind. My husband is over the age of 60 and has pension income. I'm, however, 17 years younger than him, so quite a bit younger, and not anywhere close to being of an age to have a pension. Given our age difference, is there any concern from that standpoint with regard to my visa, or if something were to happen to him, what happens to my visa if his pension auto kind of...
Nothing.
Nothing?
Once you get your... Once you get your permanent visa, then you have your permanent visa. The only reason that it could be taken away from you is if you did something illegal and you got deported. Then they could take your visa away. But it doesn't matter. If you came to Panama and you decided you might want to work, then you might... Maybe you would get the Friendly Nation visa. He could get a pensionado visa. But if you know you don't want to work, you can both get the pensionado visa and no problems at all.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, area code 904. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Jacksonville, Florida. Linda.
Hi.
Hi. This is my first time calling in, and I'm just now getting information in regards to moving my husband and I to Panama, so we're seriously thinking about it. And I just want to ask, Sister Tours, and you probably answered this already, but Sister Tours are already booked out through the end of next year. I think I'm understanding you to say that we should not try to buy any airline tickets. So if, for instance, something, I guess I'm trying to ask, and I'm on your wait list. So how is the, say, for instance, something, say the country opens up in October. Does that mean that all the people who are booked through 2021 would go before me, correct?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. If they open up the borders in October, we send out weekly emails to give you updates on what's going on here in Panama. So we'll let you know. you know, it seems like it's a good time to book your flight to come to Panama. But hold off until we give you that information that it's a good time. I just don't want you to lose any money or have to deal with refunds and all that kind of stuff. But let's say that they did open up the tours and we could start doing tours again in October. That's optimistic. I hope we can do that, but I just don't know. So we would have some openings on some of the tours in October, November, and December. And anybody that's on a wait list for those months, we would send out an email to say, you know, we have some openings. And it would be a first-come, first-served basis on who's going to get those. And I do have some additional tours that I can add at the end of this year and also additional tours I can add for next year. I just don't want to add them until I know for sure we can do a tour.
Okay, because it also seems like, I guess the airlines are in line with the opening of the country, correct?
Yes, they are, and right now it's just not available. The other thing that we're going to have available in our online Panama relocation guide, it's not on there yet, but it'll be added by the end of August. We're going to have information on how you can do a self-guided tour, you know, which hotel to stay, which places you want to check out. It'll have contact information on who can do a private tour for just you and your husband if you don't want to be on a group tour. That'll all be in our online Panama relocation guide. So there's several different options. If you wanted to come in October and you couldn't get on a Panama relocation tour, we have two other ways that you could still check out Panama. One is the self-guided tour. The other one is with one of our private tour guides.
Very, very good. And
we're going to take care of you.
I appreciate that. I look forward to it. And the let me ask one last question in regards to propane tanks on houses. Do all the houses have that, or is that something that's common in Panama?
I think almost all houses in Panama have. Some of them are all electric, but you really wouldn't want that. It's much more cost effective to have propane for your stove and your dryer. Okay. So most houses are going to have propane. Yes.
Okay, and that's not hard.
I don't know how many gallons it is, but it's a great big tank. It's so heavy I can hardly carry it. It's $5.47, so it's not very much, and I have to replace that about every 3 months.
Oh, okay, and you just call somebody in, and they do that for you.
Well, if you have a big 65 or 100 gallon tank, then you call someone and they just change it out for you. With mine, I just unhook it. I take it to a gas station or a grocery store. They give me a new tank that's all full. Then I lug it into the house and I hook it up again.
Okay, so you suggest that we buy the online. You're going to let us know. Okay.
Yeah, and if you look on our website on Panama Relocation Tours and you look at the very top, it says online guide, and we also have some banners on the right-hand side. Just look at that and see all the things. It includes the same information that you would get on a Panama Relocation Tour, even a little bit more, actually. But it has, which immigration attorneys to use. It has which real estate people we know are honest and ethical. It has where to buy your health insurance, how to get your pets into the country. And it's not there yet, but soon it's going to also include the self-guided tour and the private tour information.
Okay. I'll be interested in that. All right. Very well.
Thank you for calling in today.
All right. Bye-bye.
Next caller is Ricky. Go ahead.
Good morning from the Philippines. Hey, Jackie, do you consider Boquete, like if we live right downtown in an apartment, is it a walkable town?
Is it what kind of a town?
Walkable. Can you walk all over the place?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. I live, it's a 10-minute drive from my house to get to downtown Boquete, but there are a lot of apartments that are downtown, and you can walk to the grocery store, walk to the restaurants, just walk everywhere. Absolutely. And I know people that they specifically live downtown because they don't want to have a car. They want to be able to walk everywhere and get the exercise, and you just meet so many people whenever you do it that way. And let's say you go to the grocery store and you buy your groceries and you buy a little bit more than you thought you were planning to, and it's too much to carry home. There's always a taxi readily available that will take you back home.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much and for all you do.
Thank you for calling in, Ricky. Have a good day. Next caller is Colleen. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Jackie. I have a question. I'm going to be moving to Panama by myself. So I was wondering if the rental homes, not the apartments, but the rental homes have, like, any security system already in place, or is that anything that I might need, or, you know, cameras?
No, most of them don't. So if you live in, like, a condo complex, I know there's a security guard that you have to go through to even get into the condo complex, and they may have some security cameras. I really don't know about condo complexes. But if you're in just a single-family home, some of them have an electronic entrance gate to get onto the property. Some of them have bars on the windows for additional security. It's not so much because there's a crime problem, but people just feel safer having that there, and it allows you to have your windows wide open and be in the other side of the house and not have to worry about anything coming into your property. So, but most houses don't have, that I'm aware of, most houses don't have security. You could always have that added if you wanted to. Okay. And mm-hmm. then some people just get a dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could adopt a dog when you get here.
Okay. And the gated community, you mentioned Los Molinos. Molinos?
Well, there are several different gated communities. There's some that are real close to downtown Boquete. Los Molinos is a really nice one.
How much is the rental on that one, the Los Molinos? How much is the rental, the monthly rental?
So a two-bedroom, two-bath condo that has a swimming pool, all furnished, everything included, is going to be $900 to $1,000 a month in that area. I do have another one. Just a second. Hold on. Sorry, I've been talking so much, my throat's getting dry.
Oh, no.
So I know there's some other gated communities that will have the 24-hour security that you can get something that's $750 to $800 range.
Okay, great. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your help, Jackie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Next caller is Rhonda. Go ahead.
Hi. How handicap accessible is it through the town and everything?
It's not.
It's not.
Not at all, no. A couple of places have a handicap parking place, but most of them don't even have that. Most of the restaurants have no way that it's just not the whole country's that way.
Okay. All right. All right, thank you.
I'm sorry. Okay. Next caller is area code 443.
Hi, Jackie. This is Edith. Thank you so much for all that you do. My question is, so I will be retiring in about a year and a half, but I want that option, the flexibility of working if I want to once I relocate to Panama. With that said, do you recommend that Friendly Nations visa to give me that flexibility to work should I wish?
Well, you've got two options. If you get the Pensionado visa and you're working with some kind of an online job, for example, if you continued working for one of your current employers just as from a remote location, or if you did some kind of online consultation, then you don't need a work permit. But if you wanted to try to work in Panama, you're going to need the Friendly Nation visa and the work permit, and you should know that the pay is probably going to be significantly less than what you're used to, so you might make more money with the online job.
Okay. So, and with the Friendly Nations, there's an annual fee to keep that up, isn't there?
There's not an annual fee for the Friendly Nation visa, no. Once you get the visa, then you have it. To get the Friendly Nation visa, you do have to get a corporation set up. Most mm-hmm. people, and there is an annual fee for that corporation of $300 a year, plus attorney will usually charge about $50. depending on which attorney you use. But most people, once they get their permanent visa, they get rid of their corporation. They either sell it to somebody or they just let it go. They don't keep the corporation. There's no requirement to keep the corporation after you get your permanent visa.
Thank you. I have one last question, if I may.
Go ahead.
So it talks about lifetime pension. So, of course, I'll be using my 401k plan before my Social Security kicks in. The question I have is, what do they determine as being lifetime? If I'm 59, do they assume that's 20 years or 30 years?
No, this is the thing. They're not going to accept your 401k as a pension. They won't. It has to be either a pension from Social Security. It has to be a pension from a job that's administered by a third party or something like that. But they will not accept 401k income, rental income, or any of those things.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I thought they would take the 401k as retirement. Okay. So
Social Security. Nope, they don't.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
Thank you. My next caller is Elizabeth. No, sorry, it's John. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Karen and John, and I have one question. It has two parts. The question is it safe, in your opinion, to drive from Laredo, Texas, to Panama?
No.
Okay. That answers the question.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Uh-huh. Next caller is Daniel. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. This is Dan and Val. How are you? We're in Oregon.
Thanks for calling in.
Can you hear me okay then?
Yes.
I can hear you fine, yes.
Okay. I have kind of a couple questions here. One is, I know we were originally looking at Costa Rica, and now they have this special COVID insurance you have to buy. I think it's fairly expensive just to get into the country. Does Panama have kind of the same thing?
So right now, Panama is not letting tourists come into the country. They're only letting people that are Panamanians or people that are foreigners that already have a visa come into the country. But when they do let tourists come in, they are not going to require you to buy insurance here. The public health care system in Costa Rica, there's a monthly fee to use that one. The public health care system in Panama, there is no monthly fee.
Good. I like that.
Okay, great.
And now I have kind of another sticky question. I have never heard it talked about. In Costa Rica, you can't flush toilet paper down the toilet. Is it the same way in Panama?
So it's the same way in Panama. If you go to a commercial establishment, not all commercial establishments, but most, in your own house, of course, you can flush your toilet paper. In your condos, you can flush the toilet paper. But if you go to some restaurants, there's going to be a sign up that says, please don't flush your toilet paper. If you go to a department store like Conway, which is a Target, or even PriceSmart, which is like a Costco, they'll have signs up that say, please don't flush your toilet paper. But in your house, it's not a problem.
Okay,
want to know why they have that rule? The reason they have that rule is most of the country is on a septic system, and the more times the toilet paper is flushed, the more often they have to get that septic system cleaned out. So that's the reason.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that smart with that one like Costco? Do they accept a Costco card or they're not part of Costco?
They will accept your Costco card, yes.
God, because up here they told me I was going to get my Costco card again, and they said, no, we have no connection with those people down there.
Oh, no, it's okay. PriceSmart is owned by Costco, and they will accept your Costco card. You can even, because I've had people from the tour use their Costco card to get in and to make a purchase. It's owned by the same company. However, you'll probably want to switch it over to the PriceSmart card because PriceSmart's only $35 a year for a membership for a couple.
Okay. Okay.
We'll do that.
Yeah, we might either buy one here and then switch it when we get there, or just wait and buy one when we get there then.
Yes.
Cool. There you go. Thank you for calling in,
ma'am.
Today.
Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful
Next caller is area code 410. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Terry. I was on your December 2019 tour, and I was wondering, you have to take a physical exam before you can, you know, apply for a visa. And what are they looking for? What is, you know, are they looking for?
So let me tell you how the physical exam works. Sometimes the attorney will arrange for the doctor to have a letter that says, yep, they're in good physical health before you ever get to Panama. Sometimes you will actually go to a doctor and they're going to look at you and say, you have any, you know, you feeling okay? And you're going to say yes. And so they have a letter that says they're good. So it's, there's not much to it.
Well, what if you're not, everything's not fine. But if you have, a bad joint, you know, whatever. Maybe
it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. They don't want people moving to Panama that have a disease that could be transmitted to other people. So there is a restriction on that. But anything else, it doesn't matter.
You also, another requirement for the pensionado visa is the income of $1,000 or more from retirement plan, pension plan, or Social Security. How far can you go on $1,000? Is that really feasible?
It is feasible in some areas in Panama. You could live very well in some areas of Panama on $1,000 a month. Other areas, it would be completely impossible. You could not do that in Coronado. You couldn't live on $1,000 a month in Panama City. You wouldn't want to live in the place where you could afford to live on that. But there's other areas like Volcan, Las Tablas, Chitre, where you could live well on $1,000 a month.
That sounds good. That's a little more reassuring. All right, thank
you.
I just wanted to know that.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in. So just to let everybody know, I think we still have about eight more questions, and I'm going to go ahead and stay on the line to make sure everybody gets their questions answered. You're welcome to hang around with me for the Q&A, but if you need to go, I understand. We're already at 6:12. I will have the replay available probably on Wednesday. So my next caller, I'm not sure. Country code is 52 and then 631, so I'm not sure which country that is. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jackie. This is Mary in Lake Chapala, Mexico, Jalisco,
hi.
Mexico. Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here a short while, and I've been looking at real estate, and I wondered in Panama and Boquete especially, generally when you close on a house or any home purchase, what the percentage is for closing costs, if you know, and what generally the yearly property taxes are in Panama, and any other kind of taxes that might be due during the year that I'm not aware of. I wonder if you
So the closing process is very different in Panama compared to what it was in the United States, where I came from. And I bought and sold several properties. I'm in the process of selling another one right now here in Panama. The closing costs are going to be that you pay $140 to the notary. And this is whether it's a, you know, $10,000 purchase or it's going to be $1 million purchase. You pay $140 to the notary. You do have, I would recommend that you always have an attorney that draws up your purchase contract and that also draws up the closing documents, which they'll send to you, and sometimes they'll meet you at the closing. And that attorney is usually going to charge about $800 for the purchase contract and all of the closing documents. So those are the two fees that are involved. It's not very much to buy property here. Then your ongoing expenses, any property that was built before 2012, the first 20 years of that property, there are no property taxes. There's a tax exoneration. And then after there are taxes, The first, if it's $120,000 or less, then there's not going to be property taxes, but between $120,000 and $750,000, it's 0.5%. So let's say it's a $100,000 house, your taxes are going to be about $500 a year.
Wow.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very
much. Yeah, the closing is not based on a percentage of the price. It's pretty much a flat fee for the notary and also for the documents to be drawn up for closing. And there's no title companies or escrow offices in Panama. You go to a notary's office to do the closing. I even have an article on my website called The Real Estate Closing from Hell. And you might want to read that one because... just to give you, I got pulled over by I was going to a closing on a house that I was buying, and the seller and I, we went to one notary, and they said, oh, no, the notary already went home. It was 2 o'clock. You're going to have to go to the next notary. So we went to the next notary, and I was, and they said, nope, already went home. So I went to the third notary and got pulled over by the cops to go there because I was rushing because they closed at 3. And so finally I got to notary number 3 and I got I closed on the property. So, but best thing to do is have an appointment instead of just showing up to do a closing, and then you can avoid those things.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
It certainly is. Yeah, thank you very much. It certainly is much less than the States, and it's also much less than Mexico.
Oh, thank you. My goodness. It's so expensive for real estate closings. I've been a real estate investor for 30 years, and I know it's so expensive. The other thing is most of the properties here, there's no requirement that you get title insurance, and that saves a fortune right there. You can get title insurance, but if you buy titled property and you've done a proper title search on it, or your attorney has, then there's really no reason to get title insurance, and that can save a fortune.
Oh, that's great.
Okay,
thank you
for calling in. Next caller is Twyla. She's back. How are you doing, Twyla?
Oh, hold on. Yes, hi, Jackie. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling in this weekend.
I've been looking on the internet on rentals, on the Casa Solutions, but I wanted to find out if I send you an email, will you give me a recommendation of some realtors down there that handle properties if we want to look through for real estate?
I can do that, but let me tell you what the situation is on rentals right now. Real estate offices have been closed until the 17th. That's when they could open up. And because they couldn't work, they haven't put rental properties on there. There are a lot of vacant rental houses right now, but because nobody can come into the country, most people haven't even been advertising their rental properties. So the reason you haven't seen it very much inventory of rental properties is the real estate offices have all been closed. And
Right. Also...
Since people can't come in, landlords aren't even trying to get things rented out.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we definitely want to get out of Iowa and get away from the snow. So
I know. I'm hoping that I can get you down here before the snow comes.
Well, we can't do it this year, but we'll get down there. We will.
So, okay. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you. Uh-huh, bye.
Elizabeth is my next caller, I believe. Go ahead.
Yes, you mentioned that you never see scorpions outside, but you do see them in your house. I know that you're a cat person. How does your cat deal with the scorpions, and how much of a danger are the local scorpions to cats in general?
For some reason, he just knows he's supposed to stay away from them. And he's not a very smart cat, but he knows he's supposed to stay away from them. Keep in mind, these are little scorpions. They're not the great big kind. They're just little ones. So, I've never had a problem with it.
Well, that's good to know. Or have you known of anybody that has problems with it?
No, I don't know anybody.
My girl kitties are smarter, but my boy kitties are, dumb as stumps and will attack anything. So,
Well, and you know, Buster, he's a boy kitty, and he's not the sharpest pencil in the box, that's for sure, but he's sharp enough to know to stay away from scorpions.
Well, I had a cat named Lester too. He was dumb as a stump as well.
So. There you go. Okay. Yeah, it's not an issue. And I do, I have an exterminator that sprays the exterior of the property to cut down on them. I haven't seen one in a long time, but you're going to see them once in a while, probably.
Yeah, I figured that.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling in. Next caller is area code 505. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for all you do. You may or may not want to feel confident about answering this question, but I got my Pensionato card in 2007 and hung around for a couple of years trying to get a business going, and it didn't work. So I left Panama and came back to the land of the big box store. But since then, I've been back and forth to Panama, I don't know, maybe a dozen times or so, just going down with one girlfriend or another to play tourists and just drive around the country and everything. So it's not like I haven't been in Panama, but I haven't gone in and out using my Pensionato card. And I'm talking to a Panama City based immigration attorney right now, because my new fiance is going to be coming down sooner or later. And she's trying to tell me that, since I can't prove that I've been back in the country in the last 4 years, I think she said that I have to start the whole immigration process all over again to get my Pensionato card.
It says right on my card. You have a stamp on your passport when you came into the country.
Well, I have a new passport, and I don't have my old passports.
Okay.
I didn't keep my old passport.
Yep. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I know that they have a requirement that you have to. It used to be you had to come back every 2 years to maintain your visa, but they changed it. You have to come back every 5 years to maintain your visa. If you leave, there's not a requirement to live in the country, but you have to come back every 5 years now. But I don't know. If you don't have your old passport with the stamps, and I don't know the answer to that, you would be in their system. Because they scan the passports of everybody that comes in. So I'm sure that they can do some research and they can see that you did come into the country. If you have your old passport number, they can probably put that in some computer someplace. And they can say, yep, he was here on this date, this date, this date, and this date. Then it wouldn't be a problem. Don't let the attorney try to talk you into spending money that you don't need to spend.
Yeah, because she told me that I have to start all over again, and that's going to cost me a lot of money.
If you've been here in the last 5 years, you don't have to start over again.
Okay, all right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Next caller is Carolyn. Go ahead.
Jackie, the discussion about opening a bank account, bringing $1,500 in cash to open a bank account, made me wonder.
I'm sorry, you're kind of cutting in and out, and I didn't hear your question very well.
I'm sorry, is this better?
That's better, yes.
If you have to bring $1,500 to open your bank account, and it's my understanding that money is available to use once you open the account, but it made me wonder if we're on a house hunting trip, what form of payment do the landlords want? Do they want cash or a U.S. check or a Panama check, or how does that work?
So first of all, let me tell you back to the bank account. You need $1,500 to open up the account. You have $500 of that money readily available to you right after you open up the account. Most of the banks in Panama will want you to maintain a $1,000 balance in your account at all times. And if it goes below $1,000, I think for more than 48 hours, then they could charge a $25 fee. So you don't want it to go below $1,000. Every landlord here is a little bit different. I just helped someone that was moving back to the United States because he got a job offer that was so good he couldn't say no. And just last month, I helped them rent out their house. They're going back to Colorado. The person that moved in is from the United States, and they have a U.S. bank account. And they prefer that the people move money from their U.S. bank, the tenant move money from their U.S. bank to the owner's U.S. bank account. So there's not even a Panama bank account involved in the whole transaction for them. Other landlords, especially Panamanians, they're going to want the money put into their Panama bank account. So once you open up your Panama bank account, you can wire money down, and it'll be readily available. If you wire it in the morning, it'll be in your account in the afternoon, and then you can use that money with online banking to just move money into the landlord's bank account. You don't have to give them cash. You can do online banking to move it into the landlord's account. Every landlord's a little bit different. Some will want cash. Some will want it to just be deposited. They'll give you their bank account number and they'll say, just put it in my bank account. So you can do it all with online banking. Or you could even get money out of an ATM machine, cash, and then you could walk into where they do their banking and make a cash deposit into their bank account.
I see. Well, when we're opening our bank account with the $1,500 in cash, can we also make a deposit from a U.S. bank check with a U.S. bank check?
Yes, up to $3,000 a month.
So we would have like $4,500 available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 910. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I have a quick question about medical insurance. I heard that when you turn age 70, the premium increases significantly. Do you know about how much that increases?
It depends. If you're just getting Panama only insurance, when you turn 70, it goes from $125 a month to $180 a month.
Okay, that's all I needed. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Area code 334, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Freeland Hollowell calling about.
Hey, Freeland. Thanks for calling in again this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for all you do. You're a great woman. Yeah, can't wait to meet you. When it comes to the Pensionado visa, what's the most somebody would pay? I'm a single person. I don't have a wife or anything. It'll just be me. So what would be the outside cost?
For getting the Pensionado visa?
Yeah.
$1,500.
$1,500, so that's pretty much a flat rate down there as far as
Getting everything done. Pretty much. You might be able to get it for, $1,200, but I would $1,200 to $1,500. I would say $1,500 is what you could pretty much count on.
I gotcha. And I heard the lady talking about bringing down cash. Can we bring cash into the country? Is there a limit on the amount of cash we can bring to open up bank accounts?
There's no problem at all in bringing cash, but you need to be careful carrying a lot of cash around with you. On the airplane, they're going to make you fill out a customs form, and one of the questions they ask is, do you have more than $10,000 cash? And if the answer to that is yes, you want to disclose that on the customs form. You don't want to say no, and then they scan it or they search your suitcase and find out that you've got $50,000 in cash. And just for your own safety, I think it's better if you bring down less cash, the minimum, like $1,500, maybe $2,000, and then wire the rest of the money down. It's going to cost $50 or $60 to do the wire, but it's so much safer than carrying a large amount of cash with you.
Gotcha. Fine. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and you all have a great day. How's the weather treating you?
The weather's great. It was chilly this morning. It was raining and 68. It's still 68 degrees right now. It's been a cool day, but now we got blue skies, so it's beautiful.
I got you. I just seen your new video. The guy that was on your new video there, the doctor and his wife and that, the way they got their little plantation set up. Is there a lot of that going on down there with greenhouses?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I have a big greenhouse, too, and I have another video coming out next week about buying a car in Panama. So,
oh, great, great. I'll be looking forward to
that. That one's coming up.
Good deal. Well, listen, you have a great weekend. Thanks for everything you do. I'll be listening out for you next Saturday.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in. Next caller is Craig, and after Craig, we have three more people, and that'll be the end of the call. So go ahead, Craig, with your question.
Hi, Jackie. This is Craig and Elisa. I have a question, and Elisa has one. I guess since I apologize, we missed the first 10 minutes, so you may have covered this, and if you have, I apologize. Could you describe the situation in the country a little bit more of what's locked down and what's open and what's not? One of the things that attracts us to Panama, and we've been there many times, is the economy has been very vibrant. And I'm just wondering, you know, what I know there's no welfare system, or I think there's no welfare system. And if everything is so locked down for so long, what's the situation, I guess, socially, and is there any unrest, et cetera?
So, yeah, things are still pretty locked down. We've gone to block 3 out of the 6 blocks of opening up our economy. So the only stores that are opened up are grocery stores, pharmacies, hardware stores, banks. Just last week they opened up barbershops and beauty shops, and also construction projects have started up again, especially roads, the subway system, things like, and skyscrapers. So construction has started up. So there's still quite a lot of people that are out of work. They don't have a welfare system in Panama, but because these people were told you cannot leave your house, you can't go to work, to no fault of their own, the government has been giving people money every month and also giving them bags of food, big bags of food every single week to help them get them through this. Some people are really upset. They just want to go back to work. They don't want the handouts. They're not used to that here in Panama. They want to get back to work, and other people know that, you know, for the safety of everybody, we just have to be a little bit more patient and wait. The ships have still been going through the Panama Canal every single day, so they still have money coming in from that. Part of the free trade zone, the second largest free trade zone in the world, is still open. They have money coming in from that. Our copper mine is still open. So there's still projects. There's still businesses that are operating, but some of them are not. Restaurants are allowed to open up, but it's only for takeout or home delivery. And so some people just decided not to open up at all. Other businesses are doing a booming business with home delivery. The crazy thing is before the pandemic, they didn't have any home delivery from a restaurant. You couldn't order a pizza and have it delivered to your house. You couldn't order groceries and have it delivered to your house. But one of the amazing things that sprung up from this COVID virus is several companies got started up that offer home delivery. They'll go pick up my packages from Amazon and deliver them to my house. They'll pick up my groceries and bring it to my house. And so we're getting by.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Next caller is Christine. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I don't remember if it was on the e-book that I purchased from you or on one of the talks, but you had said to avoid credit unions and to use banks down there. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on why we want to avoid credit unions.
So you want to avoid credit unions because the credit unions are run by different rules than banks are in Panama, but the bank rules are very tight, very strong. The government monitors them very closely. Credit unions, not so much. There's also been several credit unions that have gone out of business, and I personally know people that lost a lot of money. They went with the credit unions because, oh, you're going to get 8% interest, and you don't even have to report it. You don't even have to report it to the U.S. government. We can hide it for you, which is illegal. And as soon as they say anything like that, it should make you, the bell should be going off for you to run in the other direction. But credit unions have a habit of going out of business in Panama, and there's no insurance, you might not ever see your money again. Or if you do, it could be years, and you won't see all of it. So though, for those reasons, I say avoid the credit unions.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We got this caller and then one more. So this call is from area code 941. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Are you allowed
Hello?
To hold? I said.
Now I can.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can now, yes.
Okay. In the major banks, are you allowed to hold funds in foreign currencies other than U.S. dollars?
Yes.
You are. So if you wanted to have an account in Swiss francs, if you wanted to have an account in euros, you could do that without having to hold it in U.S. dollars.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And my final caller for the day is area code 734. I believe it's Paul. Go right ahead.
Yes, it is. How you doing? I got a quick question or a hypothetical for you. If you're going to, say, buy a piece of property and you can only put $3,000 or have $3,000 wired into your bank account, how do you pay cash for it?
So you cannot. You can, if you're going to deposit a check from the United States, you can only do $3,000 a month if you're going to deposit a check from the United States. But if you're going to send a wire, it can be an unlimited amount of money. You can wire $1 million or $5 million or as much as you want. It's just when you're depositing a check, then there's a limit.
Oh. Okay, that answered that question.
That's all of it? Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you have more than $10,000 in a bank account during any one month, you have to file a FATCA report with the U.S. government, correct?
You do. And it's not just one month, but if for 1 second, for one day, if you have...
Well, yeah, that's
yeah,
that's
you,
correct.
If you have more than $10,000 in the bank account, then you have to file special forms with the IRS and with the Treasury Department to disclose the want to know the name of the bank, the account number, and what your high balance was for the whole year.
Right. That's correct. And if you're taking money through an airport, make sure you do file that you're taking over $10,000.
Yes. Disclose. Don't try to hide it.
Yeah. There's no problem if you're taking more than that, because I used to be an airline pilot.
Did.
And
yeah,
we'd see the customs guys. The customs guys are at the gate just taking these guys. Hey, what do you got in the bag over there? What's in the briefcase? Whoa, hey, check this out. You got a receipt for it?
Yeah.
Off they go.
Yeah, you have to.
You get taken to another room.
It doesn't make sense to bring a wad of cash with you. It's safer to wire the money.
Right. And the other thing, too, is if you're traveling with your wife, between the two of you can't go over $10,000.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to make
that clear. If you have different last names, then you might be able to get away with it, but I wouldn't try to get away with anything. It's better to disclose.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, one other side note. I sent you an email about, probably 6 months ago about my wife. She's Filipina, and she has a Philippine passport. And I was wondering if she can come in on a green card. And I found a thing on the embassy's website, that Executive Order 521 or something, that allows green card holders to come in.
Yes, she can. Yep.
But the other thing, too, is she's going for her U.S. citizens interview here in a week or two. So she ought to have it by February. So, yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks for calling in, Paul.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'll see you down there one of these days.
I'll be here. So I want to thank everybody for calling in on the call today. Thanks for hanging in with me till 6:38. And I appreciate you calling in. If you have any questions that were not covered during this call, you're always welcome to call our office at 972-496-4500 or to send us an email to info@panamarelocationtours.com, and we're here for you to answer your questions about moving to Panama. Thanks, and good night, everybody.